T-minus 30. Ford McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. Henry, Phil, and Mr. Bird all turned towards the door of Emma's office when the halftime commercial break began, but Dan and Tara knew better than to expect her to make an appearance. With proceedings in the New York studio so far being even more fiery than expected, and Jan Geller's gloves well and truly off, Emma would doubtlessly be in deep focus mode, making the most of her advantageous access to live social media meta-analysis data, as well as research on everything that had been publicly revealed about Billy's big find in Turkey. To date, precious little was known of Dortlu Tepe. Whoever had leaked news of Billy's detention, likely a low-level police officer, it didn't seem as though anyone high enough up the chain to know what his team had found were implicated. Whether Billy himself would reveal more live on air was the primary unknown at play, and there was nothing Emma could do beyond hope he wouldn't. The last thing the world needed right now was more uncertainty, and a revelation of evidence that a third intelligent race was not just out there, but had been here, really couldn't come at a worse possible time. In the living room, conversation during the commercials primarily focused on Jan's eye-bulging rant about the uplift powers and the imminent threat they posed to humanity as a whole. The rest of the panel had done just about as well as anyone could have expected in dealing with her, but there was no denying that the kind of passion Jan showed, however contrived it might have been, would resonate with those already concerned about the powers. Perhaps more troublingly, however, it also seemed likely to open the minds of those on the fence. The reason populists and demagogues succeeded in the media was the same reason they succeeded in politics, as Emma's PR career made her keenly aware, and as many casual observers were just as sure, emotion was louder than rationality, and it always would be. Tara tilted her phone towards Dan, showing him a list of trending video clips with titles like Geller School's Panel on Uplift Dangers and Alien Apologists Speechless, Geller Wins by KO. Although these edited and out-of-context clips were posted by Blitz Media, their huge share counts and overwhelmingly positive like-to-dislike ratios showed that they were going down well with their audience. At first, that audience was largely a Blitz audience, of course, composed of people who had chosen to see such posts by following one Blitz-owned account or another, but the instant virality of the clips meant that everyone was seeing them, particularly among the young demographic who were disproportionately unlikely to tune in to a 45-minute current affairs show even at a time like this. These snippets were dangerously capable of shaping a narrative and informing opinions. The word apologist was particularly troubling to Dan, striking him as the kind of hyper-effective label that Emma would have come up with if the shoe had been on the other foot. Jan's obnoxious repetition of the word during the first half of the show was clearly deliberate, and Dan got the uncomfortable feeling he was going to have to get used to it. While Dan was looking at the phone, though, a new video arrived at the top of the new and trending chart. Clark explodes on Geller. He tapped it and scrolled to see the comments. The top two were indicative of the general tone. Clark for president and where has this guy been hiding? Each had hundreds of likes already. Slightly further down, comments such as who needs Dan LOL and Dan who were also attracting likes. Dan smiled at these, proud of Clark for standing up to Geller as insistently as he had. Tara took the phone back and sighed gently as she read more of the comments.
That was my dreamy sigh, she said a few seconds later, sensing Dan's confused gaze. And whenever we see Leisha again, remind me to kiss him for keeping Clark alive, okay?
Will do, Dan said, but the uncertainty behind Tara's whenever stopped him from smiling. The fourth or fifth TV ad for expensive home-proofing services then caught Dan's eye. Taking his mind right back to the article Tara had shown him on her phone immediately before the show began, he considered that this ad was giving him the best natural segue he would get. Speaking of home-proofing, he said. Everyone turned to him. I'm thinking about those Greater X things, Dan continued. Say, Phil, if you still have more of them than you need, could I take one off your hands? Phil tilted his head and raised his eyebrows in surprise. Sure thing, son. But why? 700% profit, Henry thought aloud. And he paid $3,000 for each one. Dan, it's not worth it.
Jesus, Henry, I'm hardly going to charge him for it, Phil snapped, clearly affronted by the mere suggestion. I wouldn't have had the $3,000 for each of them if it wasn't for Dan. I'd still be working in that pawn shop.
Thanks, Dan said. Mr. Bird started laughing, slightly at first, before it took over his entire expression. And if you add up those free meal cards for the grill, well, Dan never uses his, but Henry and Clark have eaten enough free food in the past few years to pay for 100 of those Greater X things.
See, Phil said to Henry, I owe him one. But Dan, I still don't get why you want it. The people looking for these things are paranoid about the kind of telepathic intrusion Geller just tried to rant about. I bought them for the resale value. But you know there's no telepathy kicking around on Earth. I guess I just don't get it.
It's kind of like all that active home-proofing stuff.
Tara jumped in, trying to help Dan out, but quickly finding herself down a new conversational dead end. Everyone waited for her to continue, but she didn't.
Unless you want it for the radio comms, it's basically a fancy-looking tinfoil hat, Phil said. But if you do want one...
I just think that if they're getting really sought after, it could be worth having one, Dan replied. The end of the ad break cut this discussion short once again, with Phil looking a lot more satisfied with Dan's answer than Henry did. Between the mysteriously empty living room, the inconsistent explanations, and his own continued lack of understanding as to why it had been so important for Clark to go to Buenos Aires in the first place, Henry McCarthy got the very strong feeling that something more was going on than Dan and Tara were currently willing to divulge. This Greater X business was the final straw. Something was definitely up. Knowing that they would never keep anything from him for any nefarious reasons, though, Henry's confusion was joined by concern rather than anger. There was frustration and impatience, for sure, but with only 20 minutes of the show left, he opted to bide his time for a little while longer and push for an answer as soon as Mr. Bird and Phil were gone. It wasn't that Henry distrusted his old friends, but the two things he knew gave him a desire to avoid broaching the topic in their company. The first was that Dan and Tara fully trusted him. The second, closely related, was that their decision to keep the big secret from him firmly suggested that they had deemed it the kind that should reside in as few minds as possible. But when one of Henry McCarthy's sons was asking for a device supposedly capable of blocking telepathic intrusion, and the other had just taken two hugely uncharacteristic steps into the public eye in Argentina and New York, his own mind simply couldn't rest without knowing why.